Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Thank you for joining us on Unapologetically Catholic. I'm Susie Furtwängler, principal at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School here in Grand Rapids.
And I'm Betsy Edgerton, development and outreach coordinator for St. Thomas the Apostle School, and we welcome you back to our show, Unapologetically Catholic.
Today we'd like to welcome David Faber, who is the superintendent of Catholic schools here in Grand Rapids. And David, why don't you tell us a little bit about your job?
Well, first of all, it's just such a pleasure to be here with both of you. I love the title of your show, Unapologetically Catholic.
Thank you.
What a beautiful name that you've picked out. That certainly is our Catholic schools and the Catholic culture that we try to create in them. So my job is that I have the pleasure and privilege, as the documents of the church say, the privileged ministry of Catholic education. And it is a privilege. You both know what it's like to see young people change and their hearts be moved. And when I say moved, as they're continually invited into relationship with Jesus Christ, and you see something change in their life, and you see the benefit that it has in their person, it gets very exciting. And then that benefit actually translates as they go home, and it begins to change the home environment as well. So it's my job to oversee all that excitement in 29 Catholic schools in the Diocese of Grand Rapids. 4 high schools, 25 elementaries, lots and lots of preschools. Most of our schools have them. And it's just a joy to be part of that ministry.
If we could back up for just a moment to a question that Susie and I typically ask. Tell us about your journey and how you came to be in the position that you're in. How did you start in Catholic education, or actually take one more step further back? What brought you to education altogether?
Absolutely. Well, it was my desire to be in youth ministry that led me to Catholic schools. Initially, I started at the Franciscan University of Steubenville in theology was my major, and I started to recognize that while I loved theology, I also needed to do something practical in order to earn a living because I really was interested in a family. Mm-hmm. And so I started to think about what are all the other options. Initially, I started in theology wanting to be a youth minister, and I thought, I don't know if I can do that and raise a family. So I started to look into education, and in particular, elementary education, which I absolutely landed in and loved from the first day I was in the program. And so I completed my undergraduate degree in elementary education, and I came home and started to teach. And in my first teaching position, the principals who were there interviewing me for this position said, "What would you like to be doing in 5 years?" And I said, "I'd like to be doing what you're doing." I knew from day one that I really wanted to lead in Catholic schools in particular. And that brought me to 4 years later, not five, 4 years later to St. Thomas the Apostle, where I had the privilege of being principal for 17 years, where I, of course, met both of you. Mm-hmm. And it is a further joy for me to have some fruit like this coming out of that experience. And I'm just beaming. So if you can't see me on the radio, I'm just beaming because it is truly the change and the growth and the blessing of a Catholic school that leads people, good people like you, amazingly creative, talented, innovative, blessed people like you to do things like this. And so I'm proud of you, and I'm also grateful to be here.
Well, Dave, you know, we've spent a lot of time in the past talking about Catholic education, and I think we're on the same wavelength. What do you see as the future in Catholic education right now?
Well, the future gets brighter and brighter every day.
I agree.
We are actually looking at the possibility of the first overall growth in diocesan enrollment in a couple of decades. And we have a 3-year plan for growth, in place where all of our schools have set goals and their marketing committees are working really hard at it. And we're starting to see a change as a result of that and many other efforts as well. That's certainly just one of many efforts happening at the local level that are beginning to bring more and more young people to our schools. So I'm hopeful that more and more families are beginning to think about, contemplate the possibility of Catholic education for their family and taking advantage of some really great opportunities that we've been putting before them in our parish schools, in our interparochial schools, in our diocesan high schools, in all of our schools across the diocese to look at the possibilities that they have for their children.
Well, let's talk about that 3-year plan for just a minute. Because we're very fortunate to be a part of that, and we are seeing some success from that as well. But we talk about opportunities through that. What are some of the opportunities at the diocesan level that you think are making an impact with those young families? For me personally, I think it's an awareness thing. People sometimes don't realize, and we say this show after show after show, with the way the world has evolved, everyone is kind of looking into it through a portal, and they don't really realize what they're missing. And then they enter our schools, whether it's in the Kalamazoo Diocese or in the Grand Rapids Diocese, they enter into our schools for an opportunity, and they find a community that kind of stuns them, I think. And then they step back from that community and get back into that portal, and it doesn't fit anymore. You know, they want more of that. So we introduce them to something they don't know they're missing, and then they want more of it. So on the diocesan level, talk about some of the opportunities. I'm curious.
Well, I need to go back 4 years. Because many of these began to develop 4 years ago. So the first way that we highlighted our new opportunities was by really rearticulating the vision for Catholic schools in the Diocese of Grand Rapids. So we have a new mission and a new vision that are shared by all of our schools in common. And that led us to some strategic priorities that have also begun to shape some of the, what we call in here, customized school features. So, for example, in our rural areas, we needed to find a more sustainable model that would allow very, very small schools to continue to provide Catholic education so that they were no longer threatened of closing or of difficult situations. And so we created the WINGS model, which was really an intervention of the Holy Spirit, as well as a lot of really great innovative thinkers and educators really working hard to find a new way to deliver education that makes it more affordable in small schools. And so we've actually done that at St. Catherine's in Ravenna and St. Joseph in Wright. Those are two parishes, all part of the same cluster now, who now have one school called Divine Providence at two campuses. And they are completely within the diocesan norms now in terms of what they spend and what they cost. And so they are right-sized, and they are actually utilizing an instructional model called WINGS, which stands for World Knowledge, Innovative Education, Innovative and Individualized Education, a Nurturing Family Environment, God-Centered and Supportive Technology. So it's a new model that was actually created here in the Diocese of Grand Rapids and has now created and brought national attention to it, both through the University of Notre Dame, as well as the University of Dayton, as well as the NCEA, the National Catholic Education Association. All are watching carefully what we have done and what we have created, and we're finding the results are phenomenal. Some of our middle school progress results, actually in terms of the instructional model, we have some of the highest middle school growth of anywhere in the diocese in those circumstances. And we're spending a lot less money in order to do that. So we've created a beneficial model, and that allows these schools to be sustainable. And not only that, it's 21st century education.
That was my question. How much technology is involved in all of that? I'm curious.
In that school, Divine Providence Academy, it's all one-to-one. So every student has access to a device and use that throughout the day, utilizing blended learning and a workshop model for both reading and math. and language arts, and it's really going very, very well. So that's one opportunity that we've kind of created in our rural areas to kind of customize for schools like that. And it's also an instructional model that's begun to have an impact in other schools across the diocese as well to help them make their either middle school more sustainable or perhaps a blended learning model that they can emulate in their school. So that's been a blessing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, San Juan Diego Academy came along after that mm-hmm. as a way to reach out to the Latino community, in particular to immigrant families who wanted an opportunity for Catholic education and to really promote leaders among the Latino community. And so we're very excited about the growth of San Juan Diego Academy and that initiative. Now, we need to do much more of that. We're just scratching the surface with San Juan Diego Academy in terms of meeting the needs and reaching out to the Latino families in our community. There are so many, and so that's another area that we're really looking to for growth in the future. Of course, we're supporting all the different schools' needs to customize. For example, at the Grand Rapids area high schools, each one now are moving to have their own board and really begin to take advantage of some of their gifts and their talents and the things within their own schools to really highlight those and to grow both schools. So we're very excited about that, as well as Sacred Heart Academy now, the first Catholic Classical Academy in the Diocese of Grand Rapids. And this is a movement sweeping the country, these little small Catholic classical academies popping up, and we're very excited that they are a part of our diocesan schools. So lots of different customized opportunities allowing schools to take advantage of what their community has to offer and really bless their parishes that they serve and the community that they serve.
You know, it's beautiful that, you know, especially like in rural communities when you've got a Catholic family that wants to send their child to a Catholic school, may not have enough people to support a school. And that may affect the decision of that family to send their child to a Catholic school. It's lovely that you've come up with a model that allows for rural communities and the Latino community to be able to send their children to a school in their community. I think that's so important that our kids feel that they don't have to travel across the, and parents don't feel that their children have to travel across the city to go to a Catholic school. The Catholic community has always reached out, you know, and it should be available to everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I like the Jim Collins in his book Good to Great, the way that Walgreens from 1975 to the year 2000 transformed its business practice and created growth at 15 times its competitors during that 25-year period. By simply putting a Walgreens on every corner.
I was just going to say that.
In some cases, they went to great expense to move from down the road to the corner as one business principle that they use to become as close and as convenient to the customer as possible. And I believe today in our day of technology that virtual consolidation, where we come together virtually and allow these communities to stay in their community as a small school, has allowed us to develop this small school model that actually can work and work very well.
Would you also then incorporate into the opportunities that you're talking about? We had the opportunity to meet with Cynthia Kneibel, the West Catholic principal, and Nanette Clatterbuck to talk about the collaboration between West Catholic and Aquinas College. And I found that really exciting. And the fact that West Catholic will be offering Aquinas College classes on their campus, and those students are not paying more for those classes, and not only receiving high school credit, if I'm understanding it correctly, but also receiving credit at Aquinas College.
Both high school and college credit through the dual enrollment legislation that is out there. So by partnering with a Catholic college rather than with a public institution, we're able to maintain our mission and keep it very, very strong while allowing the public school dollars to pay for a college class and still get high school credit. So it's a really exciting program. Early college, and there's another program we're working on with both of our secondary schools in Grand Rapids, Catholic Central and West Catholic, to collaborate with Aquinas College. Again, I'm not going to announce anything at this point, but there are so many things.
But when you do, come back here. When you do,
really
come back here.
Exciting things going on that do help us create that pre-K through 16 kind of approach of Catholic education. We're also really excited that Aquinas College is going to join us at our back-to-school kickoff this year, and their faculty is invited, and their chaplain will be there. And Dr. Olivares will also be there to celebrate with us as well. So, again, another way that we're bringing the whole community together to celebrate Catholic education.
Well, and I think we always have had the mentality that you want to show people what you have and you want people to begin to realize they want to be a part of it. It's not we need you, we have to have you. It's this is what we're doing. We have a mission, we have our faith, we have our values, and people are saying, hey, I want to jump on board. I want to be a part of that. And it certainly sounds like you've made those opportunities available to people.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Could you talk a little bit about the Classical Academy that is just opening? I think a lot of people don't know exactly what a Classical Academy does. What makes it different from other kinds of schools?
Yes. Well, first of all, I will give this disclaimer. I was not classically trained, and so I have read a little.
Okay.
But you know how a little education makes you dangerous.
So yes.
I don't want to say too much about classical education because I certainly wouldn't do it justice.
Right.
And I want to make sure that they have an opportunity, and I'm sure you'll have an opportunity for
yes,
them to express.
I'm hearing another show in the works.
Absolutely.
What's going on as well. But it is very exciting to us because it adds depth to our diocesan opportunities and to families who are looking for something a little bit different. And especially it's been attractive to a number of our homeschool families. And so they are the first school that I'm aware of that has opened up a part-time opportunity. And this is kind of an innovation of Catholic school, right? It's always been full-time Catholic school or no Catholic school. And so this is the first school that's kind of opened the door to you can come as a part-time student and you can choose the number of classes that you take. Of course, the difference here, and it is a difference, those students are still primarily homeschooled students where the parent is taking ultimate responsibility for the education. And Sacred Heart Academy will be offering opportunities for classical education and classical educational courses at their school on a part-time basis, as well as offering their full-time classical academy to their students. But we're very, very excited because it has brought a number of families, quite a large number actually, back to the diocesan school family and I think this is going to be a great opportunity for, and it's also helping Sacred Heart Academy's daytime school enrollment also grow as well.
Kind of the best of both worlds.
Yes.
For those families who decide to homeschool, they still have an opportunity to then take advantage of some of the classes that are offered, and then also, you know, maintain their homeschool situation that they've set up, but be in a Catholic environment. I think that's the most important thing.
Very much so. And I think the Father Sirico has a wonderful vision for that school as a parish school, to really incorporate that ministry as a ministry of the parish. And we all know that's the only way to really be successful in a parish is to make that school such an integral part of the parish ministry and parish life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done there. So it's really exciting to see what happens there.
And to branch off from that for just a moment, I think one of the exciting things that we have found and keeps, again, threading through so many of our interviews is the kind of collaboration with University of Notre Dame and their ACE Rise. We have now many, many administrators as well as teachers in the diocese who have pursued further advanced degrees with the University of Notre Dame. But this year, several of us were given the opportunity to kind of take a look inside of ourselves for our Catholic identity. And then we were invited down to the University of Notre Dame, several schools in both from Michigan, Ohio, and was there from Indiana?
I believe Indiana.
Yes, the many schools that were invited down for a conference, which we had the opportunity to participate in. And I'm really pushing for us to go back next year to report on how we did because I enjoyed it so much. But let's talk about that for a minute. Because not only are we as a diocese making opportunities for individuals to customize for their faith and for Catholic education, but we're not stopping at that. We're saying, how can we even make our Catholic identity more? How can we be more? We're not saying, hey, we got something that's working here now, so let's just stick with this, and in 3 years, if it burns out, but instead we're looking, saying, what can we do to further demonstrate our faith? So do you mind commenting on that a little bit?
Not at all.
Because it's exciting.
Yeah, and let me go back and provide that with a little bit of context.
Please do.
These things come out of, really, faithfulness, in a faithful response to what the bishops were calling of Catholic colleges and universities in our country. So in 2005, the U.S. bishops wrote a document called something like Renewing Our Commitment to Catholic Elementary and Secondary Schools in the New Millennium, or something like that. Anyway.
Something catchy.
It was a long title, but they wrote this document, and it was really encouraging Catholic colleges and universities to reconnect and help revitalize Catholic elementary and secondary schools. And Notre Dame, the University of Notre Dame, has been a regional leader in that process, in really trying to, they created a document called Making God Known, Loved, and Served, obviously out of long-standing Catholic teaching, and really called for the reconnecting with Catholic elementary and secondary schools in order to revitalize our schools. And so they have a number of initiatives under the title of ACE, Alliance of Catholic Education. So they have an ACE teachers group where they're training teachers with their master's degrees, specifically Catholic teachers, where they have their Mary Ann Remick Leadership Program, which is training specifically Catholic principals. And it's an incredibly rigorous program that a number of our diocesan principals now, as well as we have some aspiring principals who are going through this program. Very much faithful to the church's teaching, beautiful program offering lots of professional development to those who really want to learn what it's like to be a principal in a Catholic school. Out of that has grown numerous other things, like the Catholic School Advantage with Father Joe Capora, where they're trying to move from a million students to add a million new Latino students in Catholic schools by the year 2020. It's a really exciting initiative that's kind of sweeping the country. And now they've begun, as you mentioned, ACE Rise, which is the Alliance for Catholic Education's Renewing Identity and Strengthening Evangelization. We were lucky enough to be a pilot diocese, and this year four of our schools went through that process, which is a research-based process based upon seven theological principles, and it's very thorough. And as you know, because you went through the process, it was very exciting to do. And then you had the opportunity to go down to campus and become part of how do we now take this information and implement it in our school in a new and exciting way. And then there'll be online opportunities for schools to continue to strengthen their Catholic identity over time. And this, Father Nuzzi just sent me an email talking about, you know, the next school. So, you know, how are we going to continue to implement this throughout our schools? And we have schools on a waiting list. They can't wait to become part of that program. So there are so many opportunities for our schools to renew their Catholic identity Not to mention our new accreditation process, which is based upon the National Standards and Benchmarks, which is, again, an effort out of the University of Loyola in Chicago, another regional leader in a lot of renewing Catholic identity and initiative in Catholic elementary and secondary schools, called the National Standards and Benchmarks for Effective Catholic Elementary and Secondary Schools. Another really easy name to say. But one of the four domains focuses solely on Catholic identity and mission, and everything has become aligned to those new standards. So there are 70 standards, I'm sorry, there are 70 benchmarks, 13 standards, and four domains, and they have really increased the quality of what we're looking for in Catholic schools. So lots of things going on. We're getting tons of help, and it's fantastic.
Well, and I have to, excuse me, I have to tell you, for me personally, having been in the diocese for a while now, I will tell you, I think it's a very exciting time. I think there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of people, as you just said, you have a waiting list of schools that want to have an opportunity to be evaluated on their Catholic identity and improve it. And that's exciting right there. You know, long gone are the days of you just enrolled and went your first day of school, and it was what it was. It was a dusty place that you went to, kind of. Now we're back to where it was. When I was a young person, it was, and we say this all the time, a destination place. You know, it is a community, and I'm so excited to be a part of that.
Vibrant, right? Life-giving, beautiful place to have your children.
Right, the purpose for the show, actually.
Exactly.
We really feel that it needs to be spoken about, the excitement and the dynamic things that are happening in our Catholic schools today. I know that this year our school will be going through a five-year, you know, creating our five-year strategic plan. And we're going through a new process, which I'm excited about and can't wait to jump into. Do you want to talk a little bit about the diocese?
You bet.
Yeah, good.
I'm always glad to be asked a question about strategic planning.
Yes.
And how we're growing into the future. So, and it follows up very well from the National Standards and Benchmarks. Mm-hmm. We have, and our diocesan board, through its strategic planning committee, is beginning to develop a process that is completely aligned to the National Standards and Benchmarks and the accreditation process, as well as school improvement. So for the first time ever, we'll have the marrying of school improvement, which is a typical, if you're a teacher out there, you know what school improvement is.
Yeah.
Or if you're an administrator in a school, you know what school improvement is. Mm-hmm. If you're a business leader, you know what strategic planning is. And however, oftentimes business people don't understand school improvement and schools don't understand strategic planning. So for the first time ever, we think we've married the two into one process under and all aligned to our accreditation process. So hopefully streamlining things, making it more simple but much higher quality.
Well, not only that, but those Catholic school standards and benchmarks are now going to become kind of the focus of everything you do, not that they already aren't, but they will be aligned to your planning process. They'll be aligned to everything that you do within the schools. School improvement team meetings will now be focused on those, and I think that's really exciting. I can't wait to get started on that.
Absolutely. We're using those to align everything. Our
right.
principal appraisal process, we're using them to align to strategic planning, to marketing, to everything that we do, really, because they're such high quality. And the rubrics that come with these are really robust.
Oh, yes.
And they really help you to determine on an objective level, how are we doing in this area of school life? It's not just a subjective thing anymore. It's objective. And it's really going to be, I think, transformative in many, many ways. Our Catholic schools were great environments. They're going to be even better.
Well, and we've talked a little bit about the opportunities and the customizing and the introspection, you know, looking at yourself or your school. And it sounds like it's a very, very exciting time for Catholic education. And people, we've said, want to jump on board. They want to be a part of it. But usually when you hear about something really cool and you're really excited about it, the very third thought in your head, other than, I like this, I want this, this is, how much is this going to cost me? and that's the hurdle. That is sometimes, and I apologize, Dave, but I'm excited to hear your answer, because before we sat down with our microphones turned on, you said you enjoy this type of conversation. But that for us, again, another thread coming through the different individuals that have walked into this room and sat with us, Susie, you know it too, is the cost of Catholic education. So let's talk about that a little bit. Break it down if you don't mind. Let's make it so that people understand how affordable it really is. And for me personally, and I'm only speaking for myself, my children are now adults in the world, and I believe they are the individuals they are because of their Catholic education. I look at them as adults and say, we did good.
it's a decision you'll never regret.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's one of those where you'll someday be laying on your deathbed and think, gosh, I wish I hadn't sent my children to Catholic schools. I think this is one of those decisions that you look back and every stage of your life in retrospect and say, wow, that was one of the best investments we ever made.
I look at the individuals that they have become, and I truly, I trace it right back to the fundamental faith-based education foundation that we gave to them. And I mean that sincerely. So go right ahead.
And I'd also like to say, and it also has to do with the parent, because the parent is the first and primary educator of their child.
Correct.
And so if you hadn't done something right, Betsy.
Well, thank you very much.
But it's that partnership.
I was just going to say, it is that partnership which we talk about. But thank you for the compliment.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really glad you asked the question about affordability. When we went out to all of our parishes in the diocese and we asked about Catholic schools when we were doing our revisioning and our new articulation of our new vision, one of the things we heard loud and clear, in fact, it was the thing we heard most loud and clear, was the concern about affordability and accessibility of our schools. And so that has become a primary issue that we are working in every way to try to address. So the good news is that we give out $2.8 million a year in tuition assistance. I think that's a secret that most people don't know about and aren't aware of. There are so many believers in Catholic education who are so willing to give when they know that someone has a need that we actually are able to give out $2.8 million a year in tuition assistance.
And how do people, excuse me for derailing you for one moment, how do people find out about that secret? How do they find out about it?
Well, generally, we've been telling them through their local school. So their local school will let people know that by a certain date you can apply, and actually you can apply any time of the year for tuition assistance. And but there are times of the year that are better to apply because you have the most opportunity to take advantage of all the possible funds that are out there. Of course, as you get further through the school year, the less of those funds are available for that following school year. So the earlier you apply, the better. That's one piece that's really, really helpful to families, and we are in the process of actually trying to move that process back so that we can tell families much earlier how much we can help them with, so they can make those decisions way back in the spring instead of in the middle of the summer or in the summer when they're struggling. So anyway, we're really excited about that. We're trying to make that more possible. But you know, we also have done a lot of digging into the data about how much tuition assistance we give out, and so for those families who do qualify for assistance at the elementary level, the average gift is $1,000 a year. That's per student, so that's the average gift. At the high school level, the average gift, the average is $4,000. So when people think about, you know, well, I can't afford the high schools, I'll never be able to afford the high schools because they know what the tuition rate is, what they're not thinking about is how much assistance is available. So by the time you apply that $4,000 plus the investment that every parish is willing to make
exactly
in your children, as long as you're attending Mass and you're participating in your parish, if you do that, you're down to about the average elementary school tuition if you are a family who needs help. So it's really important that we get the word out about how absolutely affordable it is, not only at the elementary level, but at the secondary level as well.
Excellent.
We are working very hard to make that even more help available. I know it's a huge priority on Bishop Wachowiak's mind, and it's something that he's currently testing some ideas as possible ways to go out and raise additional funds for tuition assistance. We want to make Catholic education available and accessible to those families who want that education.
Excellent. We're excited about that as well on the school level, because we know that all the schools have their own financial assistance package, I guess, if you want to say, but we do that hand in hand with the diocese, and that's it makes it affordable for many families. I think a lot of families are not aware of that until they ask, and so we encourage families, if that is something that's stopping you from sending your child to a Catholic school, whether it be elementary or high school, inquire within.
Please ask.
Ask.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the thing. It's the asking, but I think I really, really like the word investing, and we use it all the time. I know that you use it all the time, too. And as adults, you make a lot of choices about how you spend your money, but these are our children, and you're investing in the future. And you're not only investing in the future of your child, but you're investing in the future of your church and of your faith. You know, I mean, this has got to carry on. And I think people kind of forget that sometimes because they have sticker shock, if you don't mind my saying, but they have to ask. And that's, I think, the biggest message with the financial portion of it that I always say to people is ask.
Mm-hmm. There is always a stated tuition amount, but each family's tuition is actually quite customized, especially those families who qualify for help. Mm-hmm. So once you qualify for that help, your tuition package becomes very customized, because there are a lot of assistance dollars and scholarship dollars that are available to families. And so don't ever be scared away by this sticker. We use a third source party in order to determine a family's means. So this is something that's very confidential. The family, it's not like they're turning in their tax forms to their parish or to their teacher, their child's teacher, or their school. They're turning it in to a third source. It goes away to a private organization that evaluates those funds and sends that information back to the school in a very confidential manner, in terms of kind of the priority of need of families. And so it's a very confidential process, and it should be friendly for all families. I mean, we'd like it to be sort of like the FAFSA. You know, most people who are going to college fill that thing out because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd like people to see our PSAS, our private school aid service, to be a lot like that, a welcoming way for them to fill out the forms, find out if they are eligible for any help, and if they are, in a lot of cases, we're able to help families.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm particularly pleased to say that you are beginning your fifth year as superintendent of the Diocese of Grand Rapids Schools. And I'd like to know, what are things you're most proud of over the last 4 years as you enter into your fifth, and what are some of the things you're really looking forward to? We obviously have already listed a whole bunch of things that we're looking forward to, because for me personally, as we're sitting here, I'm thinking, I've got to go back to my desk and do this, 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 and this, because, you know, it's just exciting times. But what are some things that you're most proud of?
Well, first and foremost, I'm most proud of the mission of Catholic schools. And, you know, as I said at the beginning, this is a privileged ministry. Mm-hmm. That's what the church refers to it as. We have these parents' most prized, I don't want to say possession, but God does give them to us for a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their most prized possession, and every day they bring them to us. And we have 35 to 45 hours a week that we have an impact on these young people to try to teach them what their parents have been teaching them in their home. And what a blessing that ends up being. And to be part of that, to look a child in the eye when you are at Mass and they're praying, or when you're in the classroom and you're leading prayer, or they're receiving the sacraments. It's like this window into their soul that is so impactful. And you've both experienced those
right.
those moments
many
with these
times
young people.
Over.
And,
yes,
and every parent knows those moments. You know, those quiet moments when you just see something has sunk in and they got it and they understand. What a blessing it is to be part of the mission of the church and the new evangelization working through our schools to impact the hearts and the minds of our young people for Jesus Christ. So that's the thing I'm most proud of, just to be part of the mission of the church, you know, because we believe that each child is created in the image and likeness of God, that God has a plan for each of them, you know, that we help them to grow and their gifts and their talents and to become stewards of all that they've been given for the kingdom, to be able to give back and to be a light and a salt in the world. And so we reverence goodness, truth, and beauty in our schools. We teach right and wrong, good and bad. You know, and we strive to introduce every one of them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is something that no one can ever take away. Anything else that we can give to a child from a knowledge base or from a job base or anything else you give to a child, they will eventually lose. But no one can ever take their faith away. And so we get that opportunity to continually appeal to their heart, to give their heart to Christ. And as they do that, we've been able to become part of something that will last forever, for eternity. So that's what I'm most proud of. But in terms of some of the things we've done practically in our diocese, I'm really excited about the newly articulated vision and mission for our schools. I think it's provided a kind of broad direction that's allowed schools to really move in a direction together, an alliance of Catholic schools. We used to say we were a system of schools. Now I like to talk about our alliance of Catholic schools. What we can do together, we can accomplish so much more together than we can on our own. And so we're an alliance of, yes, independent Catholic parish in interparochial schools, but we work together in one alliance. So
excuse me, and don't too. It is, and again, I'm cutting you off for a moment, but don't you see that more and more, even in your 5 years as principal, Susie, that we're working more together with other schools than ever
absolutely.
Before?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think not just because we're all part of the diocese, I think independently we are working closer and closer with each other. I think you've set the bar high for that, and I think everyone is really excited about that welcoming invitation to get out there and really partner with other schools. And having Aquinas College and now the high schools all kind of becoming a part of that as well, the possibilities are endless in what we can do together.
Exactly.
Yet independently in our own schools, we maintain our own personalities, our own flavors. But when you have schools working together on projects and working, collaborating together, the richness of what happens within each of the schools is just so much, it grows exponentially. So, yeah, I agree. It's been wonderful. We've seen it in our schools for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm also really excited about the restructuring of our governance.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of our schools has a new governance model. We're no longer consultative boards, which we were in the past, or advisory. We're now boards of limited jurisdiction, giving our local communities much more a responsibility and ownership for what happens within the school in partnership with the pastor in the diocese. So very excited about that. And the committees that are starting to develop and get active, like the marketing committees, they're starting to make a real difference, I think, in our schools and provide hopefully the needed support and the community support that's needed by every principal of every Catholic school. They just need that help. I'm excited about having one diocesan marketing plan. Now, every school has many times their own materials and some of their own strategies that they're using, but the plan brings us all together, and also we've created, now we have a 70, gosh, how many total tools? 75 total tools that we can use. Any of our schools can use high quality, pre-written, customizable materials that they can engage with their ambassadors putting 60% of our resources toward our ambassadors and 30% toward new prospects and only 10% toward the universe. A lot of times with marketing, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. we kind of have this inverse plan that research has found to be very, very helpful, more of a grassroots marketing. And so I'm really excited about where we're going with that. We're just beginning to realize some of the benefits of a common student management system. Every one of our schools is using the same student management system, which means we're utilizing real-time data to make decisions with strategic planning. And it was so hard in the past trying to gather data on our schools to try to get good information out to the families who utilize our schools. And now it really is very, very simple as our schools all use the same student management system. I'm really excited about how the WINGS initiative, which has become Divine Providence Academy for now, but WINGS is a model that can be used and replicated all over the country and is gaining national recognition, and I'm very excited about that for our rural schools. And of course, the ACE Rise pilot, and I could go on and on. There are so many things I'm really excited about, and I think our growth initiatives, I think as we continue to look to the future and trying to make even more tuition assistance available, we're going to be able to welcome more and more and more families. Of course, San Juan Diego, and I'm hoping more outreach to the Latino community, really offering Catholic education to all of our Catholics is very, very exciting to me, and I think it's going to benefit our schools. So a little bit about where we've been, but also some of the things where we're going.
Yeah. There's just a sense of excitement. That's really not even a good word for it. A sense of uplifting. I don't know. There's energy. There's a synergy happening right now around Catholic education. I feel it in my school. You know, you and I have talked about this before. There's just this upswelling of excitement. And what do you attribute that to?
You know, I think we're benefiting from lots of things, truly. Pope Francis, the Francis effect, many people now, but Pope Francis has just been a model to us of a new way of looking at. Nothing has changed, but a new way of looking at and of articulating our mission and our ministry to people. Mm-hmm. And the way he's been received in the media is absolutely amazing as he reaches out to the poor, as he makes himself accessible, as he becomes directly available to those who ask him questions and want answers. And he has really presented to the church a kind of new openness about who we are and expressing that out in the community. And I think that is having an impact even on local parishes. More and more people are thinking, you know, I haven't been to church in a while. Maybe I should try that again and go back to church. Certainly the new evangelization, of course, that was begun by Pope John Paul II, now Saint John Paul II, it is making a huge difference across the world, but in terms of even here in the United States, lots and lots of people are thinking about and talking about getting out of themselves and out into the community. How do we welcome more people to the blessing and the benefit and the mission of the church? And so I think it's having an impact in various areas. Just to hear Bishop Wachowiak, you know, on many occasions say that Catholic schools are the single most effective means the church has created for evangelization. And in a new document by the U.S. bishops, and that's why I love the title of your show, Unapologetically Catholic, because we're all, you know, I think Pope Francis has given us permission to just be who we are and be that out in the community. And don't apologize for it. It's a beautiful thing. And so in a new document by the U.S. bishops called Renewing Christian Witness, Reflections on Catholic Schools as Instruments of the New Evangelization, there are just quote after quote after quote from bishops and cardinals, a lot like Bishop Wachowiak's quote. They're just supporting Catholic education, Catholic schools as a way, as a primary way to evangelize the next generation of Catholics. And so there's kind of this swell, I think, in the media. There's an excitement among Catholic people. I think our Catholic schools have made a lot of improvements and continue to grow. And as that happens, there is a sense of new life, of vitality. We've made a lot of hard decisions over the course of the last 20, 25 years, you know. Mm-hmm. There have been plenty of school consolidations and closures that have helped us to operate perhaps more efficiently and responsibly. But now it's time to get back out there with our message and to grow.
Mm-hmm. Not to sound repetitious, Susie, but having visited Notre Dame for our conference, one of the things that was driven home, and I have carried it with me all summer, is that sometimes things need to die so that things can rise.
And the mystery.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And there must be for me something big in the air, because it's being demonstrated in so many ways, in so many conversations, whether it's work related or not. And just what you're saying again right now is we have been through a difficult time. I truly believe that. And as Catholic educators, and now, just as we said at the beginning of the show, people have looked at the world in a portal, they're realizing that's not how they want to, and they're coming back out in droves, and individuals like Pope Francis and yourself and Bishop Wachowiak and Susie as a principal and all the other people that make it happen are coming alive, and it's an exciting time.
And I think we've also begun to realize that there's a lot of people out there who really want what we have to offer.
Right.
They really do want what we have to offer. And unfortunately, somehow we're not reaching them. And so I brought along a brand new study. I know we just have a little bit of time.
No, we have more than enough. I'm interested in this.
I brought along a brand new study done by the Friedman Foundation, where they went out and asked parents, if there were no barriers and you could choose the education of your choice for your children, and they gave them four choices: private school, traditional public school, public charter school, or home school. What would you choose for your children? And the plurality of Americans, 40% of Americans, said they would choose private school for their children. And obviously, private school is a very tiny group that includes all of the Christian and Catholic schools in the country. Now, here's the thing. 40% said that that's what they would choose, but only 9% actually enroll in private school across the country. That means that there's a gap. Mm-hmm. 31% of school-aged children want to be in a school like ours and aren't currently. How do we reach those kids? There are plenty of kids out there, and that's why we believe with additional tuition assistance, with making sure everyone understands how affordable it really is, and really getting the good news out there about the positive things going on and the growth that's happening, that we can see again a time where our Catholic schools become a really important part of the Catholic Church's mission. And so I'm very excited about that, because it gives us 35 to 45 or more hours a week to appeal to a child's heart. And I don't know about you, but as parents, I'm a good primary educator of my children, and my wife is even better. But without the support of other adults and other people who are also telling my children the same things that I'm trying to teach them at home, it's just not as impactful. When I can place them in an environment where they're going to live like we live at home and learn the prayers we learn at home and learn to love and follow Jesus like we're trying to teach them at home, it's all of our teaching on steroids, you know. It just really empowers everything we've tried to do. And as much as we think we would teach it all at home, the stuff that gets sent home in homework, that the family ends up doing together are all kinds of depth of Catholic teaching that I would not have gotten to unless someone brought it to me in a systematic fashion. And that's what our Catholic schools really have to offer our families, and not just during religion class or theology class, but all day long. And so it's a beautiful place to have your kids, and we hope lots more people take advantage of it.
Well, we have witnesses after witnesses after witnesses on our show saying if we did not have God to refer to in times of sorrow, in times of crisis, in times of conflict, in times of joy, oh, my goodness, what would we say? What would we do? And I agree with you wholeheartedly that for a child, if you present it in many different ways. Some teachers are very over-the-top loud. Some people are much quieter. Some are demonstrative. Some are very prayerful. No matter how you teach it, if your words are the same, if your language is the same, if the mission or the message is the same, that's bombarding a child at a very formative time in their life, whether that's preschool or 11th grade, high school. You know, those are formative years for those kids, and those are years when they hear the same message over and over again that make it so important.
Absolutely, and utilizing every teachable moment.
Every teachable moment.
We know our world, our culture, utilizes every teachable moment possible. And as Catholic schools and Catholic parents, we have to utilize every moment we can to appeal to their hearts.
Especially in this day and age, which was not like that in my day and age. And I'm decades older than all of you, I'm sure.
We are the same age. Careful, girl.
You just look younger. Seriously, our children of today are faced with things we never were. And the fact that instant messaging or something can appear that they thought moments ago is suddenly a post on a Facebook page makes it quite a different world than I like to say I lived in simpler times. That sounds so much like my mother at this point. But the fact that when that technology goes away and they have a human being, not their parent, but a teacher or or someone else involved in the Catholic schools, a volunteer, an administrator, a principal, saying something that they hear at home or that they hear at Sunday Mass, it makes all the difference, I think.
It sure does.
You know, we during the day, we take those teachable moments to do exactly what you're saying. And I think looking at the world right now, when you're looking at technology, even in the Catholic schools, we use a lot of technology. I think the difference is that we take the time to teach them to use technology, not just responsibly, but through a Catholic lens, through a Christ-centered lens, which makes all the difference in the world, I think, in how the kids move forward from there on. Yeah,
I agree.
Such a powerful tool. And again, used for the new evangelization,
right?
It has tremendous impact, as we've seen through Pope Francis's example.
I've retweeted him many times.
Me too.
And everybody likes that.
Absolutely. And how exciting to have a pope, I mean, you know, the top guy, doing things just like that. You know, it makes him, in my world, much more human. And I think it must do that for our young people in our schools and in our church, that they see that, hey, he does the same thing I do. How cool is that? There's a connect right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And what a beautiful thing in our world that we can have that connection in our day and age, that media allows us to do that and allows our Pope to do that.
Right. Well, Dave, it's been just absolutely enjoyable having you here today. I have to tell you how much I admire you as a superintendent, but also as a friend and a mentor. And
you are
that for all of the principals and all the educators here in Grand Rapids. I think a lot of the growth that has happened here and the excitement, the upswell that we're seeing right now is in direct response to your efforts. I'm sure guided by the
and
Holy
many
Spirit,
people, yes.
but you've been really gotten the ball going, and I just want to tell you how much we appreciate that, and how much we appreciate you taking time out of your very busy day to be a part of our show and joining us here in the air and informing our families that are listening right now. So we thank you for coming, and thank everyone out there for listening today.
It's been my pleasure and privilege to be here with both of you.
Thank Thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in to Unapologetically Catholic, and we look forward to you tuning back in next week.
You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.